I remember getting so frustrated learning to write in school because the concepts just never stuck with me. It was so frustrating. And so when I said, you know what, I'm going to really start writing, I developed a framework with my writing coach called Pop Writing. And I needed something that was rigorous enough that it would improve my writing, but then also something that was simple enough that it would actually help me take action. Because things that are so complicated, even if they're perfect, you just have a million things going on in your brain. You can't actually write with that. And I came up with a framework called pop writing. And this isn't writing like pop music or a lot of the pop articles that you see that are cheap, clickbaity, and overhyped. But it does stick with people. It is memorable. And that is then how you get your writing to pop. And it stands in contrast to a lot of the ways that we were taught to write, which is with tons of statistics and data points. Oh, just this hodgepodge of buzzwords, you know, a buttoned up academic tone so that you could impress your English teacher. And that every now and then I'd throw in a fancy schmancy word or something that I'd looked up in a thesaurus somewhere. Because that's what I thought good writing was. Oh, if I can just use five syllable words, then I'm a good writer. But then I realized I was ridiculous. And I said, that's not what I'm going to teach in Rite of Passage. And what I realized is that if you want your writing to pop, it's got to be personal, observational, and playful. So I'm going to talk about each one, personal, observational, and playful, pop. And I'm going to talk about both what it is and then how you can make your writing pop. So the first pillar is personal. And this is when you're telling a story about your life or talking about personal experience, right? Like what I just did, talking about these fancy schmancy words that I looked up in a thesaurus somewhere, right? Like that's about me, but you can relate to that. You can maybe think of, oh, little David, you know, try to look up it is thesaurus, probably Googling something. And in order to actually do this, you can use little triggers like sentences that start with remember when or something I experienced, but you're just talking about yourself. Then pillar number two is observational. This is when people say things like, you know, I've always noticed that, but I've never been able to put into words what this writer just said. The kinds of ideas that make you as a writer go, that's interesting. All right, like a little epiphany. And my favorite tool for observational writing is Bed Bath & Bus. So these are the three B's of creativity. And the first is you just sleep. You trust that if you take an afternoon nap after an intense writing session, or you just chill, that is when you begin to come up with ideas. And really, that chill one is with bath. You know, Quentin Tarantino, when he writes, I think he writes for like 6 hours every day when he's really on, from something like 10 to say 4 p.m. And then what he does is between the time where he's writing and then the time where he goes to dinner, he goes and he will chill in his pool, chill in his hot tub. He'll just be in the equivalent of a bath state, which is laid back, relaxed, kind of letting this free flow thinking go to work for you. And when you're in that state, you end up coming up with ideas because you basically hand the keys to your mind over to your subconscious. And then the last is bus. This is, you can do this in your own city. This is when you go visit a new neighborhood, you go to a new restaurant, you talk to somebody new. Bus is anything that gets you moving out of your normal routine, seeing new sights. And in Bed Bath & Bus, you're looking for things that surprise you, things that feel insightful, those epiphanies. You're looking for anomalies in the world. What doesn't make sense? What's confusing? Ah, there's an answer over there. Okay, that's good fodder for writing. And you're just always challenging yourself to never let the world become so familiar that you stop looking at it. Because over time, people get so swept up in their routine that they stop actually seeing what's directly in front of them. So that's observational. We've talked about personal, and I want to go to the third pillar, playful. And playfulness isn't always what you're thinking of right now. You know, even the most serious writing can be playful. I was actually listening to a lecture series about Plato last night, and he said that even when Plato was being playful, he was always hinting at something serious, and that the dialogues, they weren't so serious all the time. Yeah, they were rigorous, even in the playfulness. And I think of characters in Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb. He makes up these fictional characters, like a guy named Fat Tony, where he uses dialogue and stories, and he basically personifies his ideas that make his ideas way more memorable than they'd otherwise be. And then to make your writing playful, you can use fun analogies. I don't know, compare something to sports. You could refer to movies, music, pop culture. You could use pictures and illustrations when appropriate. I don't know if you've read Wait But Why, but Tim Urban, when he writes that blog, he'll be talking about what Elon Musk is working on, the future of artificial intelligence, but with these hilarious little stick figures that just make you giggle as you read down the page. And so you get this beautiful juxtaposition of both the seriousness of ideas that he's focused on, but then this playfulness, which is just fun. And I actually have a whole folder in my notes section where I just save words and phrases and sentences that just sound cool. And I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to use these, but I actually save them. Let me look mine up right now. And what I see is little sentences and phrases like sizzling enthusiasm, the crack when you open a beer can, small but spectacular, it's like drinking vinegar, drugs that sound like characters in a Tolkien novel, Shake Shack green, flush with nostalgia, a fever of rage. These are just, I don't know why, these are just things that stuck with me. His style was more J. Crew than Harley Davidson. I love that. And actually, Taylor Swift does the exact same thing. She has this song called Blank Space, which I remember listening to that song all the time for a while. And she has a line that I really like where she goes, "'Cause darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream." And it's a line that she had saved in her notes just while being out and about. And she had saved it like almost a year before she wrote the song. She didn't actually know how she was going to use it, but she just liked how it sounded. Sort of like J. Crew and Harley Davidson that I just said. And then when it came time to write the song, she just pulled it in. She said, "Ah, I found the perfect time for this." And I think that's something to remember when you write, to save these ideas. And you just never know when they're going to become useful. And so what I learned about pop writing is that all writing can borrow from these three buckets. But how much you want to borrow from personal, observational, playful, it's going to depend on the kind of writing that you're doing. And in particular, I want to talk about certain kinds of playfulness. They ain't going to fly if you're writing for work or a government job. And of course, the kind of personal that you want to share depends on what you're trying to accomplish. And so you always just want to say that different writing has different kinds of personal, observational, and playfulness, and a different emphasis on each one. But what I love about pop writing is that you can always look at writing for yourself and writing for others, that wherever you're just not satisfied, whenever it doesn't pop, you can ask yourself, well, should this writer add in something personal, make it more observational, or throw in a little playfulness? And that's when your writing can pop.